So let me just briefly, this is more conceptual. I want to talk about some of the things going on in the States and some of the things, ways I think we need to be looking at creating a healthier nation in the future. You know this, and I'm not bringing it up because you don't know it, but if you read it, how much we spend a lot of time on physical, less time on mental, and very little time on social well-being in this nation. And we need to work in public health to change that conversation across the country if we can. The definition of social determinants, again, money, power, resources. You know, that's often not considered a legitimate place for public health to go, at least within governmental public health. The lanes are pretty clear. But we really do have to start changing the conversation away from health care and physical health and some of the traditional public health programs toward much more of these social and economic, educational, on and on, aspects of health. And I think, Jason, you'll be speaking a little bit more about this later. This is a repeat again, but systematic is the word in here that I think is very important. This isn't about individual initiatives, and I would say, basically, Steve, it is about local action, but it has to line up with state and federal action, because many of these systems are determined at the policy level in Washington or state legislators as well as the local area. So we really have to look at systematically how are we creating this bad health. This is an attempt North Carolina did, and it's good. It's beginning, and I hope it still continued. I couldn't find a more recent report than 2010. But the notion here is they looked at multiple different health factors in the state, and I picked two, you know, traditionally physical health factors here. They went far beyond that. But what's important here is they not only looked at the health of all, the whole population of North Carolina, but they broke it down by racial and ethnic group. And then looked at the ratio, and whether you can do a ratio to all, you can do a ratio, in this case they did it to the Caucasian or white population, but what they did here is factor out, and I really liked, Sonia, what I guess Dr. Satcher came up with. You talked about universal interventions and targeted interventions. We've got to go in that direction. This allows you at least to have some data, this type of analysis. Far too often we just talk about the all or the average out there. This concept of goodness and fairness from the World Health Organization, I love. Goodness is the overall good in the average performance, and fairness is what is the gap between the most and the least healthy populations out there. And what we would really like to see is that for every public health program, we set a goodness goal and a fairness goal. The same for Healthy People 2020, the same for any program we have. It is important, and we've seen this over and over again. I was really happy to see that this working in the immunization examples you gave, where the universal and targeted, and both improved. Maryland set a goal, the governor of Maryland, to decrease infant mortality by 10% by 2012. And they did this, I think, in 2008 when the governor came into office. They actually hit their target in 2009, early. Fantastic. But when they looked at it, the gap between Caucasians and African Americans actually increased. So the intervention, fine, we could have said job done here, but in fact it wasn't done. So Maryland came back and set a goal for the gap, the fairness, and the goodness, and they hit it. And if you look here, they subsequently had a 17.5% reduction overall, 25% in the African American population, 2.2% in the Caucasian. So they improved both the overall performance and the gap here by specifically targeting it. That's the type of thing I think we need to do in all our programs in public health. Now, this I want to talk about what Minnesota's doing. I don't know if you've read this report, but I'd really encourage you to read this report. I think this was very courageous. And actually, Ed Ellinger, who's here, the Commissioner of Health in Minnesota, got the entire cabinet to sign on, Governor's cabinet, talking about health and all policies. They were very honest, and this is where we get back to systematic. They looked at structural inequities. How did we structure our policies, our society, in a manner that drove these inequities? Whether or not it was intentional, in most cases it wasn't intentional, the policies as we implement them drives disparities and inequities. We got to step back to that level, way away from the individual-only level. So again, structural racism, they looked even further to say, okay, what policies do we have that are inadvertently disproportionately impacting different populations? It also, I mean, what I love about Minnesota, we've been doing this in our organization, racism is a topic, should be a topic of conversation, an open topic of conversation. If we control everything else, racism still has a huge impact on health. So we've got to talk about it, whether it's allopathic load or whatever it happens to be. I don't know, we exactly know, but we should be open about it and speak about it frankly. What they did, and this is the other thing I liked about Minnesota, is they actually looked at their own practices. So this wasn't hypothetical. So they looked at, for example, a program they had for healthy indoor air. And they launched that program based on home ownership. So they had the list of home ownership. They sent the materials out to the homeowners. Well, if you look at it later, 3/4 of the Caucasian population own their own home, less than 1/4 of the African American population. And therefore, this program created that structural inequity where basically it went to the Caucasian populations, not the African American populations, totally inadvertently. And that's why if we don't look at these things, we'll find that we're doing these things unintentionally. The education policy, also very interesting about some of the same historic policies, whether it was redlining or discrimination in housing, created segregated communities, in some cases lower property taxes, therefore less money to support the schools. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So again, we got to, you know, make these interventions, look at that, peel the onion back, look at what our policies are that create the structural aspects here. So another very interesting thing Minnesota has done is working with the Big Ten universities, which are the land-grant universities. They've gone to them to engage them so that they're not just academic, but saying, we're going to sit down and the university is going to bring all their departments, health and all policies, together to work with their comparable state health agencies to start looking at health and all policies, what kind of interventions can occur. And as you see, this is a big swath of the country here. They're getting engaged in this now. It gets public health and health in, you know, working with schools of agriculture, transportation, architecture, things that we typically don't work with, in a way that should impact that bottom rung of the pyramid, some of these socioeconomic factors. Another very important aspect of this is hopefully the universities will bring some evaluation and some research. And also engage. So let me say it this way. We often think in health that we need to go to these other sectors and teach them about health. And it's simple, that's great, but in fact there's so much expertise sitting in these other places. They may or may not call it health. But in transportation, the architects have amazing work they do on building health into buildings. They call it health by design. And we're really not as engaged in them as much as we can. So the point here is we can't go in arrogantly say we in public health are going to teach you how to do this stuff. We need to go in and say, teach us how you in agriculture, transportation are creating health. So it's a very interesting approach, and I'd encourage all of us to start working in that way. So basically to summarize, we got to get away from this biological model only and recognize the full dimensions of health. That also means our research needs to go beyond the biomedical model of research and really look at all the different sciences out there and the social sciences, because in my mind, public health is probably more about the social sciences than the biologic sciences, and yet we tend to think it's strictly epidemiology, strictly biologic science. We have to get comfortable with those other forms of science. The health and all policies approach, again, we all believe in that. We need to look at that, but in practice, how do we implement that in public health? Things like health impact assessments are very important, and we can get engaged there with other sectors. I didn't put it in here, but in academics, there's a lot of reform that has to go on also. In academics, you tend to be reinforced for going really deep in a field, much less reinforcement for working across, like these schools in the Big Ten. You know, you're probably not going to get tenured if you're doing one of these interdepartmental, intercollegiate initiatives. So, and will the grants go there? The grants probably go to the real deep subjects and less to these cross-cutting. So there's a lot has to happen in academics as well as the research and as it goes on. But this concept of structural inequities, structural racism, and policy solutions, I think is very, very important. It's great to run programs. It's great to work in communities as necessary it is, but we really got to step back and see how inadvertently or intentionally these policies are driving racism and inequities. And then the final, the goodness and fairness, I think has to be the job of everyone in public health. The day when health equity belongs to the people over there in the cubicles in the minority health office should be long gone, and health equity should be the job of everyone in public health. We need the resources. We need to figure out how to work this stuff. We've worked, Tom Eckstein's from America's Health Rankings are here. We've been working a lot with them to help us figure out how to build modeling and tools so that programs can set those goals and know what the specific interventions or the target interventions are, as well as the general interventions. So I think I'm done. Thank you.